We are so blessed to have another opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. He is the fount of every blessing. There's only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, and he will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And we're thankful we have the truth. It's been delivered to us, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So we're opening our Bibles, and let us go through the Scriptures this evening. Be stronger, be edified, and we hope and pray that we'll all leave here with one heart and one soul as citizens of the kingdom of God, children who are obedient and ready to serve the Lord for the remaining time in our lives. So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 as we begin this evening. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a wonderful greeting that we have. It's been preserved for us that we may be blessed with it as well. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we are thinking of those words there, especially in verse 4, that you may be partakers of the divine nature. Our glorious King, Jesus Christ, reigns in heaven above. He is the head over all things to the church. He is the Prince of Peace. For those who are faithful and continuing steadfast in the Scriptures and in the Lord and his service, we all awoke this morning with great joy because we were given the opportunity to worship the King who is all glorious above. We read about some men who were very joyful in their desire to worship as well in Matthew chapter 2. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2 and read there. In verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We see the hypocrisy of the king, who is not intentionally in any way desiring to worship. But these wise men, they saw the star in the east, and they traveled to Jerusalem to worship the king. The star went before them, and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. likewise, we rejoice in our worship because we have knowledge of Jesus. As we see over in John chapter 1, we have knowledge of him. We see there that he is the one, in him was life, and life, his life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Also, we go over to chapter 3 and see there of Jesus as he spoke of everlasting life. In chapter 3 of John, we read, "No one has ascended to heaven." In verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And we go over to chapter 6 of John and read there in verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." As we continue with the words of Jesus, our Savior, we go over to chapter 10 and read there in verse 7, John chapter 10 and verse 7. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out, in and out, and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.'" Then in John chapter 11, we have a record of Jesus and his compassion and his love for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus had been dead, as we see there in John chapter 11 and verse 17. He had been in the tomb 4 days. We read in verse 18, "Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, Son of God, who is to come into the world.'" And then the final scripture in the book of John is in chapter 14. As we look at these verses that Jesus has given to us through the Holy Spirit regarding eternal life. In chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know.' Thomas said to him, 'Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?' Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" We know over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 about his suffering, that he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring you and I to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. As we go over to Luke chapter 22 and 23, we read more of the suffering of Jesus. In chapter 22, we can read of his sufferings, his betrayal, and his arrest while in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we read how he was mocked and beaten, blindfolded and struck in the face. In chapter 23, we read about the chief priests and the rulers and the people as they insisted that Pilate release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. He was crucified between two criminals when he suffered in anguish. While he suffered in anguish and excruciating pain, he was mocked and blasphemed. So let's read from Luke 23. And we see in verse 44, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that it was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. But on the third day, we see the first day of the week, very early in the morning. It was the morning of joy. Christ arose, as you see in chapter 24, in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Let us now think of another morning of joy as we go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we read that it was the third hour of the day, 9 a.m., on the day of Pentecost. The record is there for us as we meditate on these things to increase our faith. We see there in Jerusalem were dwelling that day devout men, Jews, from every nation under heaven, and the 11 apostles were there together in one place. We see that in Acts, the beginning of the chapter, where we read that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then we read on in the chapter of Peter and all the apostles standing before the people. And the inspired words of Peter are there for us. And we can look at those and let's see what we can learn from those as we read through those some of those verses. Some would make the statement that they thought the 11 apostles were drunk, but Peter said in verse 15, "For these are not drunk, as you suppose, that is, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn both an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And we see there in verse 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. And we know that those who were gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There will be a morning of joy for all who are in Christ. This is what we need to keep in our hearts as we work for the Lord is servants of the Lord. We who are his sheep and of the Christ, who is our great shepherd. This morning of joy will be the dawning of an eternal day in his kingdom. Now we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read of such material that helps us to understand what it will be like. We begin reading in verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. In verse 50, we read, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see also in other passages from the Apostle Paul, his writings. Look over at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, where we read, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, we see, finally, there is laid up for me, that is the Apostle Paul, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And speaking of his appearing, we go to Titus chapter 2, and verse 11. And we have the question, why should we live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age? And well, verse 13 gives us the answer, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you see there's a contrast there in chapter 4 comparing the things which are seen to the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. But we know in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things which are done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences. We see this comparison with our physical body described as a tent, as it's compared to a spiritual body that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, eternal building from God. And we do earnestly desire, for those of us who are spiritually minded, to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. So let us live for him who died for us and rose again. As we go over to Luke chapter 20, we see there of Jesus and what he had to say about the resurrection to the Sadducees. As they questioned him concerning the resurrection, he answered and said, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised, when he called the Lord God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." That's Luke chapter 20, verses 34 through 38. Also in John chapter 5, Jesus was confronted by those who sought to kill him because he healed someone on the Sabbath, and he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And then in verse 24, he said to these persecutors, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So we have what we need to make our lives good before the Lord and make our aim to be well-pleasing to him. When we have this determination and when we act upon it, make ourselves living sacrifices, come to Jesus, full obedience of the faith, then there, as we wake up each morning, there will be joy in our hearts because we're ready to present ourselves to the Lord as being alive from the dead. And then we read in Romans chapter 6 of the faith that it requires. The faith in the operation of God enables each and every precious soul to act upon that faith and be buried with Christ through baptism into death, to be united together in the likeness of his death, and be united together in the likeness of his resurrection. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you have not been baptized into Christ to walk in newness of life, this is your opportunity. You must repent, for we know in Acts 17 and verse 30 that God commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn from the ways of man to the ways of God, and to allow him to rule and reign in your heart, and the peace of God to rule there. And then in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, you read, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So at this time, we conclude our lesson, encouraging us all to have one heart and one soul to obey the Lord. If there are those in the audience who need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you have that opportunity this evening. There are those who need the prayers of the congregation, need to be restored. We are ready to assist in any way we can, for we want to be as the angels of heaven who rejoice in heaven over one sinner who repents. So let us stand and sing the song of invitation at this time. Thank you.